AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
AP News. Good morning. I'm Ed Donahue. There is tornado damage this morning in Alabama and Mississippi. At least two deaths have been reported. Two people were killed north of Montgomery, Alabama. They were in a home that was struck by a tree. Severe weather is expected to move east from the storm system. The government says the economy grew at a 2.9% annual rate from July through September, an upgrade from previous estimates. It comes despite high interest rates and chronic inflation. Congress is preparing to take up a bill preventing a freight rail strike. In the House, Michelle Fishback is a Republican from Minnesota.
Our country's economy can't handle a strike that reports would say would cost $2 billion a day.
The bill lawmakers are considering would impose a compromise labor agreement brokered by the Biden administration that was ultimately voted down by four of the 12 freight rail unions. Inflation in Europe has eased for the first time in almost a year.
Despite a modest easing, the double-digit rate still hovers near a record that's robbed consumers of their spending power and led economists to predict a recession. An EU agency says the consumer price index in the 19 countries that use the euro currency hit 10% in November from a year earlier. That was a drop from 10.6% in October, the first decrease since June 2021. Out of control inflation is being fed by high energy prices caused by Russia largely cutting off natural gas over the war in Ukraine, as well as bottlenecks in supplies of raw materials and parts, and rebounding demand after COVID-19 pandemic restrictions ended. Charles de Ledesma, London.
Indiana's Republican Attorney General asked the state's Medical Licensing Board to discipline an Indianapolis doctor who spoke publicly about providing an abortion to a 10-year-old rape victim who traveled from Ohio after its more restrictive abortion law took effect. This is AP News.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen.
For late nights writing English papers.
For your teen's music taste.
For dinners, where they talk more on their phone than with you.
For the first time, they call you mom.
You're never completely ready to adopt a teen, and you can't imagine the reward.
To learn more about adopting a teen, visit AdoptUSKids.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at BelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The Racine man police call the dating app predator is in jail facing charges. Timothy Olson was arrested yesterday in Franklin on preliminary charges of kidnapping and identity theft. He's also linked to the death of a Cudahy woman. Police believe Olson drugged women, then stole money and other valuables. This year's deer season was a success for Wisconsin hunters. The Department of Natural Resources says the deer harvest was up 14% this year compared to last year. Hunters killed a little more than 203,000 deer this year. Much of the credit goes to this season's mild weather and a large deer population. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Freedom of speech, freedom to say, freedom to think. This is my
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Greg, you look perplexed.
Kristen, perplexed. Kristen, you can't say words. Was that the Mellencamp?
It was.
Yeah.
What are the rest of the lyrics of that? Do you know them?
No. I just recognize his voice. And the thing is, I knew there was Carlos Santana's guitar on the last break, but I wasn't sure if it was him because I just know his guitar tone so well because I am a nerd.
That's okay. It's part of the reason you're on the show.
Oh,
you're funny. You're nerdy.
I pulled it from the video from like the 70s. It's hilarious.
This song?
No, the Carlos Santana song Winning. Just to see what they wore in
the 70s. Probably wore like big white pants.
Oh, it's just priceless.
That was his like free jazz stage.
And the keyboard players always, just the fact that keyboard players were ever cool just kills me.
But what's the
Keytar?
Keytar.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It's so cool.
So awesome.
All right. So we are talking about freedom of speech.
Yes,
we're talking
we
about free speech on campus specifically. That feels like always comes up every couple months as far as the indoctrination of young people on campus and these liberals that are spreading their ideology.
Kristen, it's dirty liberals.
It is dirty liberals. So I have mixed feelings on this because I think in its purpose, it's good. It's always better to have more information, right? I think. So basically, this has been kind of an ongoing story of will it happen? When will it happen? But the University of Wisconsin system is going to relaunch a student free speech survey. And there's been controversy or arguments about this because there's certain staff. Actually, the chancellor of I think it was
Whitewater.
Is it Whitewater? Okay, resigned over this, and because it was going to happen last spring, and now it looks like it is going to happen now. And it's basically a 29-page survey. We have the questions.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be sent to a random sample of students on each UW campus, and the researchers are hoping for a minimum of 500 responses. You do get, if you fill it out,
$10. You get a $10 gift card.
Which, as a broke college student, I mean, you know, maybe that's incentive enough. Would you fill this out for $10?
If I was 21, sure. Like, there's different versions of me in college. Like, there's the part of me that's like, you know, who would protest against hate speech, be like, I'd fill that out. $10 is fine. Then there's just like, they're kind of like, I'll buy so much ramen noodles.
How much would $10 actually buy?
I think it buys you a case. Actually, yeah.
Really?
A case. Yeah. Like 24 cases, like super cheap.
All right. So it is 29 pages. I mean, it's a long survey. And so UW system president, Jay Rothman, who I feel like is doing a lot. Like, I feel like his name comes up a lot as far as since taking over for the interim UW assistant president, Tommy Thompson.
Yeah.
Great choice. The different things that they were doing with the now I forgot what the, exactly the name of it, but the tuition program where families, students of families who are making less than, I think, $60,000 a year are getting free tuition, and they expanded that. I think it's like the Bucky Promise program. They expanded that to more campuses than just Madison. So it feels like he's out there and he's doing stuff. So he said the research project is aimed at ensuring the UW system is committed to being a marketplace of ideas. Thank you, Elon. A place where nuanced and complicated issues can be openly discussed openly, freely, and civilly. We want, this is a quote, we want passionate debate on tough issues in a way that people can learn and ask questions without being labeled or tainted. We're not going to solve the issues that we have as a society, which are challenging and complicated, by soundbites and tweets. And so the effort, in his eyes, is to get usable data to understand what students think about free speech, rights, and responsibilities. So on the surface, I feel like this is a good thing, I think. But then the back side of this is who's funding it, who's pushing for it. And so it's being funded basically almost exclusively by John Menard.
Of
Menards. Save big money at Menards.
It is the... Jane was very impressed with that harmony. Did you see the look on Jane?
Notorious. I mean, literally, I think the richest person in the state.
He is. He is. And, he's worth like $8
billion. Very conservative.
Very conservative.
Big Republican donor.
Also, and I don't mean to spread rumors, also been like, it seems like he's not all there.
Oh, I don't know anything about that. I do know he's very anti-union.
Yes. Oh, of course he is. Yes. Yes.
I do not know. Pro he's old. Race, he's, I imagine he's in his 80s.
Pro race car.
There's, pro race car.
They said like he does so few interviews that when he does interviews, all he wants to do is talk about his racing team. Yeah.
At like Elkhart?
Because at this point, do you think he knows the price of sod? No, he doesn't. He's John Menard.
So... it was supposed to, like I said, it's supposed to happen in the spring. It got delayed, and some of the Republican lawmakers who have been pushing this were complaining because they thought the quality of the survey would suffer. And so this is also last December, so about a year ago, a bill was introduced that would punish state universities and technical colleges for free speech or academic freedom violations. I don't remember exactly who dictates that and what the violations, who gets to decide what's a violation or not. And so there's sides of Republican lawmakers who are really pushing for this survey, and they're doing it, as we now know that it is going to happen. But there's some UW system faculty, some students who are skeptical because they think that this is all going to be used for partisan politics, and it's going to be used as a scapegoat trap, I told you so type thing, rather than an actual quest for research to understand the student bodies more and how conversations are happening or not happening on campuses.
Yeah.
So in its, my opinion is in its purest form, this is a good thing. But it's just, I understand the, how is this going to get used problem.
Yeah.
Craig, you look like you have something to say.
I have thoughts.
All right, let's hear them.
I think this is a dumb idea.
Do you?
Yes. I don't think, I do not think that, I don't think a survey with 29 pages is going to get, I don't doubt that, okay, let me try this. I don't doubt that they're trying to reach some sort of idea of where they could go regarding conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that this survey is the right way of doing it. I don't think that it is. I don't think it is. It's just not. I don't know. There's something very doesn't feel right to say, like, all right, we're going to send out all these.
Surveys. And surveys. I think it's like, it's also because it's a random sampling, but it's also, it sounds like you self-select whether or not you're going to spend time doing this because you're getting rewarded by taking a $10 gift certificate.
And also that's like $500,000 in gift cards. But it's not even the gift card thing. It's the fact that like 500 people, like nothing smacks of science to me. This sounds so random and so ill prepared.
Well, because you think about the when we think about polling, because that's sometimes the question of what, you know, if we talk to Charles Franklin from Marquette Law School with polling, and the reason why, not that I'm smart enough to know this, but the reason why polling 1,000 people in a state of 6 million is still fairly accurate is because of the way that they, it is random. It is, it's not self-selected. You're not getting reward, you know, and like, and they adjust for gender, race, age, all of these different things. And if you're self-selecting on who's going to, and it's also not a 29 page, when you get stuck on the phone with a pollster, I don't think it's this long.
No.
And so, cause it's, it, I mean, you scroll through it. And so if you find the article, WPR covered this, I think either yesterday or the day before. And so they link to the article, I mean, to the survey. And so you can read all the different questions. And I told Brooke to get on the mic because she's out of all of us, the most recent,
resident youngster.
Well, no, she's, I mean, you've been to 3 different campuses.
Yeah.
And so she's
too many.
Not to like tell you. I was going to say, it's not like
she was called out.
Like. So you've been to, you attended Parkside, Oshkosh, and UWM.
Yep.
Do you feel like there's free speech on campus?
That's hard. I feel like yes and no. Because
I think, what I think that they're getting at is, is there, for young Republicans, young conservatives, do they feel intimidated in classrooms by their teachers that they can't express their conservative ideas without trying to be indoctrinated? And so that's what I think the partisan side of this is what they're trying to get at. When you say yes or no, what does that mean?
I mean, my first thought, I think back to when I went to UW Oshkosh, which is like, I feel like that was the clearest example. And it was there was actually a controversy on campus where there was a frat party, and this lesbian couple got kicked out by the house owners for being lesbians, and then also they were hanging swastikas all over their houses, and people were really upset. But their whole thing was, well, it's my house, I can, you know, it's, I can say what I want. It, like, it doesn't matter.
But if it's a frat house, is it their house? Isn't that usually?
It's usually tied into the university and the fraternity. Like there can be some consequences for that. But
anyways, we have like a minute, and then we'll keep talking about this after the break. But
that's where it gets confusing, because I don't know if those kids ever really had any consequences after that. But it was like a huge thing. Like, a lot of people were talking about it. A lot of people were upset. But I feel like that's one thing. But then in terms of like being in class, there are definitely moments where if I could like gauge where my teacher or my professor was leaning towards, I wouldn't vocalize as much where I stood, like, because I took like PR classes and debate classes and stuff like that, and I definitely like was like, I'm just gonna keep it to myself.
Yeah,
so
that's interesting. I feel like there's, I'm trying to think back of, so we'll talk about this more when we get back, because I think this is super interesting, having just gone to school, for you, me trying to think back of when I was in school, how much of that is like wrapped up in just wanting to impress your teacher versus I feel actually intimidated that I'm going to be, you know, considered wrong or graded poorly if I don't agree with them, versus I am just a people pleaser in general, if you haven't picked that up. And so, all right, well, we're going to take another break. We're going to keep talking about this when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Freedom of speech. Freedom to say. Freedom to think. This is my lucky day. Freedom of thought. Freedom of dreams, freedom to believe that we all can be kings, all can be kings.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that. Rudy, so
they're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled into voting Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Highs around 28, west winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 15. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 35. Upper 40s Friday, turning much cooler on Saturday with highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Kristen Bryan, Greg Bach is a big fan of this shit song.
This song for me, I could spend an hour talking about this song. I love this song. I could never get sick of this song. I could listen to it every day. I love this song. It means so much more to me than it does to other people.
Why?
I think it's because I didn't come out as queer until very late, like until a couple years ago. And when you don't do that, and when you don't realize it, and it happens, you realize there's all these little pieces of the puzzle, all these little breadcrumbs throughout your entire life that led you to the place.
Okay.
And so for me, this song is one of them. And there was something, there's something about the lyrics, there's something about the beat, the fact it's George Michael, who was a treasure, that I become very... When I say emotional, I don't mean crying. I mean, I'm so happy. I love this song. Thank you for playing it, Jane.
Now we know your theme song.
It made my day.
Would this be your walk-up song if you're ready to give a speech?
Oh my God, possibly. It could also be my walk-up song when I go on stage.
Ooh.
I love it. We should have harmonized there. Darn it. Okay, we should get back to topic. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I feel like we probably could have spent an entire hour just on this topic because it's so much bigger than just the free speech survey that is going to be conducted across the UW system. And kind of, is it in the purest form of research of trying to understand more of how students are feeling about how they approach topics, how they approach critical thinking about topics, how comfortable they feel expressing themselves on campus, versus what some people are saying is potentially, as I called it, a partisan ruse.
Yeah.
And the results are going to be used as fodder to say, I told you so, from Republican lawmakers. Because it is a project funded by John Menard.
Yeah.
Very, very rich man, very conservative man.
At the end of the day, I just don't think that they're going to get the results that will. Here's a better way for me. I could have put it in the last segment. I don't think they're going to get the results that will allow them to move forward in the way that.
Who's they?
UW system. Okay. The general. I can't remember his name right now.
Jay Roth.
Thank you. The way Jay Rothman's putting it, I feel like they're trying to move in a certain direction to find truth and to find balance, to find fairness. That's great. I don't think this survey is going to do that. I think it's a bigger problem. It's a bigger discussion to have with professors, to have with assistant professors, to have with students, to have with all. You got to say like, hey, we want to tackle this over the course of a couple of years because we have to do a lot of discussion. There's a lot of schools here. There's a lot of people who work for us. There's a lot of students who go here. And to me, a 29-page survey that's going to guarantee you a $10 gift card, I don't think is going to do it.
It'd be interesting because my instinct with this show is to try to get faculty members who are on the opposing side of thinking this is a good thing versus a bad thing to come on the show and talk about it. But speaking of freedom of speech, I wonder if they would feel comfortable doing it without ramifications of, this is my job. I'm not going to discuss this, even if they would want to.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only people you could probably get who'd do it comfortably are probably tenured professors. Be like, my job is safe. You know, you can't ask some grad student who's teaching a class. They're gonna be like, nope, I like my job and my stuff. So
Brooklyn, would you take this for $10? If you were back in school?
Yeah, I would definitely do it for the $10.
Not $10, a $10 gift card.
I'd be like, okay.
You're like, I need money.
However, if you want a 12-pack of ramen, it's going to cost you $13.
Actually,
you looked it up?
I looked it up. Well, no,
That's not what I found, $12.99.
I found a case, which is 24 for $6.56.
Wow.
Is this Alibaba? Where are you getting this from?
It's a new website called Amazon.
Where'd you find yours?
I just did a search.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
All right. Well, I want to get into this deeper, but we only have 2 minutes before we have to go to another break because I just think this is fascinating, and I don't even know if we have time to play the clip, but in the bigger conversation of how much is, as Brooklyn said in the last segment, going to a frat party, and they threw swastikas on the wall, and they said that they could because it's their house. And, you know, in the last couple months, the rearing of anti-Semitism. I mean, I think it's probably something that's always there.
I didn't know who Nick Fuentes was until Thanksgiving.
All of the stuff with this young 24-year-old Nazi coming out, and obviously Kanye and Dave Chappelle. It is interesting because, like, my hero, like, is Jon Stewart.
Yeah.
Always. And he was on... Do we have time for the clip? Okay. So we'll summarize it. He was on Colbert.
He was on...
Colbert.
Okay. Yeah.
And Dave Chappelle had just done his SNL 15-minute monologue.
Yeah.
I actually didn't watch the whole thing. I saw the hype around it. But he, Jon Stewart, Jewish man, friends with Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
And I thought he did make an interesting point because basically what he said is he's not normalizing anything. This conversation's already happening in every comment section if you spend time on the internet. And so we're not going to solve this by not talking about it. And I do think if we're talking about the example that Brooklyn gave, her real life example, is in that situation with the boys who did that at their frat house, is it solved by kicking them out of school or is it solved by having more conversation about why this is offensive? What are they trying to accomplish with this? And like getting to a root cause. And I think I am on the side of the conversation.
Me too.
And if this potential survey isn't weaponized by lawmakers, but does elicit some kind of insight on how conversations can be happening or aren't happening, I don't know. I think it's not as scary as maybe people are saying this is why we shouldn't do it. But we gotta go to break. Greg, okay. I know you have thoughts, so we'll talk about it. But we gotta go because Dan Schaefer's already in the waiting room.
Oh my God.
Dan Schaefer, Recombobulation Area, is gonna be here. We're gonna talk about Judge Darrow joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Veterans, Whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever. Just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org.
Good morning, I'm Ed Donahue with an AP News Minute. A bomb blast hit a religious school in northern Afghanistan, killing at least 10 students.
A spokesman for the Interior Ministry says several others were wounded in the blast at the madrasa at Abak, the capital of the northern Samangam province. A resident says most of the students in the school were young boys. Video distributed by the Taliban to the media showed the blast site, a hall littered with debris, mats and shoes, with bodies and bloodstains on the floor. There has been no immediate claim of responsibility, but the Afghan affiliate of the Islamic State group has been waging a campaign of violence that has escalated since the Taliban took power in August 2021. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Tornadoes damaged numerous homes, destroyed a fire station, briefly trapped people in a grocery store, and ripped the roof off an apartment complex in Mississippi. Two people were killed in Alabama when a tree fell on their mobile home. I'm Ed Donahue.
We tried Dynavite for gut health and immune support, and after a couple of weeks, our little Gizmo was acting like a puppy again. His coat was shinier, he had a lot less scratching and shedding, and he seemed like his happy old self.
My dog smelled and scratched constantly. We bathed and sprayed her, took her to the vet, but no results. Now, a little Dynavite in her food helps Bella keep her beautiful coat with no scratching or smell.
Get 10% off your next order of Dynavite nutritional supplements for dogs at Dynavite.com.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with Dynavite.
Looking for the perfect gift? Get them a shirt from Untuckit. Untuckit shirts are designed to be worn untucked. They're the easiest way to keep him looking sharp and feeling comfortable. You can't go wrong with their super soft flannels, wrinkle-free shirts, performance shirts with stretch, and cozy sweaters that are all perfect for right now. They even have a line for her. Find the perfect gift for every guy on your list at one of 80-plus Untuckit stores or at Untuckit.com. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mantner with your headlines. Winter has arrived. With the snowy season, snow plows are out working hard to keep the roads clear. Drivers might notice a new feature on many snow plows throughout Wisconsin. County and municipal snow plows have added flashing green lights in addition to the yellow ones. A new law was passed in April allowing this addition. Officials say green lights create a better contrast against the snow and are more visible during storms. The decision was made because of several close calls, and as they're phased in, officials hoping it will serve as a more visible reminder to slow down and proceed with caution around snow plows. Gas prices falling in Wisconsin. On Monday, prices in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Appleton fell below $3 a gallon. Statewide average gas prices also down from $3.23 a week ago to $3.15 on Tuesday. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are starting off this half hour with our good friend and sometimes guest host, Mr. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, friend?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, everybody.
So how did it go? Well, you were had to do 3 hours of radio. It's a new
3 hours of live radio is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Jane helped me through it. But,
he was great. You know. Dan was great.
Did Dan cover one of the days I was supposed to be here? Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. How you doing, Greg?
I'm feeling better. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is a good time to announce that I have to let Phil know and Joe Specky know, but everyone, I'm treating you all to dinner. So the challenge will be finding a day that works for everyone, but doing a big group dinner to say thank you for everyone who covered for me, which includes Mr. Dan Schaefer, who did 2 days. So, expanding your skill set.
That's right. Getting those reps.
Yes, exactly.
Getting some reps on the radio. You know, I did a couple TV reps earlier this fall, too. Just trying to get a little experience doing this whole media thing where I'm not just behind a computer typing all day.
There are no lanes anymore. Someone else said the other day, you're like, you know, newspapers are trying to do podcasts and radio stations are trying to be TV shows and TV shows are trying to be newspapers. And so no one has a lane anymore. And we all have to do every medium.
Yeah. I will be becoming a chef later this week.
I feel like you'd be good at that.
Oh, I'm great at eating.
You'd look great in that hat.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we wanted to talk a little. We talked about this yesterday when the news broke, but I know, I think you tweeted and have been tweeting the very, very.
I rarely tweet.
That's a whole other topic we could talk about is how much you were potentially worried that Twitter would not be there that Monday when people said, there's no one left to work at Twitter. You're like, what am I going to do? But Judge Darrow, who was the judge in the Daryl Brooks case, is announcing, like, potentially right now while we're on air, I don't know what time it's scheduled, that she is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, that the primary will be in February, the general will be in April. It is incredibly, incredibly important. And basically, I would love to hear your thoughts, because my initial reaction to this was, prior to her announcing that she was going to run, there was one conservative candidate who is a former Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Jan Kelly, who was pretty handedly beaten in 2020. He's running again. And two, I don't know if you want to say liberal, center left, backed by more.
Liberal.
I don't,
liberal.
Yeah.
Just for lack of a better.
Yes, and one who's a Dane County court judge, and one who's a Milwaukee County judge. And my gut instinct on this was, for the primary at least, it forces more conservatives. That vote will be split potentially. Mm-hmm. For the long term, looking into the general, does having someone like Judge Darrow, who is, you know, we know the power of name recognition, right? In so many of these, no matter what the race is, the big challenge for most elections is, do enough people know who you are to have any kind of insight on whether or not they're going to vote for you? And so she obviously has made a huge name for herself. That was a very high profile case. And so what were your gut reactions yesterday when her husband broke it, that she was going to announce today, as far as what that changes going into next year?
Yeah. Again, first, I just want to say you cannot overstate the importance of this race. This will determine the majority in the court. This is a 10-year term that will determine the majority of the court. It is the liberals' best chance to win a majority, really, at any time in recent memory, or, you know, looking ahead through the rest of the 2020s. A liberal justice, Ann Walsh Bradley, is up in 2025, and then conservative Rebecca Bradley is up in 2026. So this 2023 election is really the best chance that liberals have to gain a majority on the court. This is important, I think, chiefly because it would open up challenges to the state's ridiculously gerrymandered maps. And the maps have been Republicans' skeleton key to wielding power in Wisconsin, no matter how many statewide elections they lose. And so the maps is the Republicans' key to holding power in Wisconsin, and the court is the key to those maps. So I think that is the main reason I see why this election is so incredibly important, because the maps are so foundational to the accountability that we are unable to deliver to the Wisconsin state legislature. And that is foundational to every issue from, you know, that comes before the court or comes before the legislature, be it from abortion and gun rights and taxes and public safety and local funding and on down the list. It all comes back to the maps. So I think it's important to emphasize why that is particularly important. And then, so getting into the primary, you know, I think this is, I think Jennifer Doro is going to have a ton of name recognition, mm-hmm. more so than any other, you know, candidate in this type of race would typically have. And I think Daniel Kelly, who lost, like you said, lost big in 2020, was never elected to the state Supreme Court, was a Walker appointee. So he, you know, in the one election that he was in, he lost pretty badly. And I think he is the type of candidate who did poorly for Republicans in the most recent midterms, like the type of far right, very Trumpy, election denier adjacent type of
Michael Gableman type, maybe.
Yeah,
Michael, maybe a little bit of the Michael Gableman type. I you don't think he's going to get into this?
No, no. I mean, oh god,
no. No.
Who knows? Who knows? Nothing's ever Daniel surprising
Kelly,
anymore.
Daniel Kelly was also wildly underqualified for that job. The fact that he was appointed that job in the first place was ridiculous.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation Area, talking about the consequence, or what does it mean that Judge Darrow is joining the Wisconsin Supreme Court case, or race, sorry. So do you think this is... I guess if we're splitting it, if even though this is a nonpartisan race, and it should be a nonpartisan race, specifically with judges who are supposed to be objective and look at the law and not apply their ideology, but that is not the world that we live in. So I've let's talk about it in real terms, which is there are two now conservative candidates, and there's two liberal-backed candidates. So what do you think this means for the primary as far as who could get through?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it kind of remains to be seen how things are going to shake out on the liberal side of things. But I think, I think among the conservatives, I think, you know, I think a couple conservatives like Rebecca Bradley came out and endorsed Daniel Kelly before Doro jumped into the race here. But I think on the left, we have kind of emphasized the importance of this race for quite a while. You know, I think our friends at Block have been saying this is kind of a two-part midterm, saying this is the governor's race and everything that was on the ballot this fall is one part of it, and the state Supreme Court race in the spring is the second part of it. And so I think everybody on the left recognizes the importance of this race. And I think Doro jumping in is a recognition that the conservatives were kind of stuck with a bad candidate. And they had this opportunity with the judge who just got a ton of name recognition, just became this like TV news darling with the Brooks case over the last couple months and with how she handled it and everything like that. So I think that and she's a Walker appointee whose term is ending in the relatively near future, you know, so. So I think, you know, I think she's going to be a strong candidate in that primary. And I think, you know, considering what just happened for Republicans, I think maybe they drift away from the Daniel Kellys of the world. But you never know. I mean, Trump could jump into the race and endorse Kelly, and that could make a huge difference too.
Because he endorsed him in 2020.
Right. So, I think it remains to be seen how this is going to shake out. You know, we're already seeing a little bit of the Oppo files come out on. I just saw Daniel Bice publish the story on Doro.
Oh, really? What did it say?
Earlier this morning, the headline was Supreme Court candidate Jennifer Doro has been critical of the cash bail system. So an article about how she had comments in the past talking about quote, there is a huge body of evidence about whether or not cash bail is keeping communities safe. So that's going to be an interesting
one. But here's the thing that I think is so interesting.
Dynamic for the race, too.
Because... is there a chance that she is not, because she is not part of the donor-backed backdoor world of GOP politics, liberal politics, you know, the people who are trying to pull the strings without being in front of everyone, that she is there a chance that hers kind of, because she's just had such a meteoric rise, that she isn't in the camps of this is the agenda we are trying to get through politically in Wisconsin versus, because I would say that that is the right correct, like that is the right position to hold as far as what everything I understand about cash bail and it not really working, because the only purpose of it is to get people to come back to court. And there is a ton of evidence that shows that that is not what it actually does. This is not a means to just keep people locked up before they actually get a trial. And so if she is someone who, like, in my opinion, that is actually a reason I would vote for her, right? is hearing right. that opposition. But apparently you consider that oppo, or people would consider that oppo, because that is not the position of a lot of conservatives.
It'll be interesting.
Well, they just spent tens of millions of yes. dollars attacking Mandela Barnes for months on this exact issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just always striking to me. It's just like, hey, this is a system that failed. We should reform it. And then the response to that is, this is the worst thing we've ever heard. So, I don't know. But I just think, you know, she went to law school at an evangelical Christian law school. She has been kind of part of that Waukesha County political universe for a little while, from what I understand. So I don't know. I think it's, you know, we're obviously at the very, very early stages. Everyone's going to know her from the Brooks trial. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a huge factor. So
go ahead, Greg.
I just think we'll know where she stands in a week's time when she makes the announcement. She's asked questions on her past statements, and we'll know where we're at. I mean, I think in today's day and age, you can't stand to be independent. It won't get you anywhere. Hmm. So if she says, like, you know, the work she did on the Brooks case, she's proud of the work she did in the Brooks case, and people, you know, I read Twitter the day that those sentences came down, people were very happy about it on one side. And then if she talked about cash bail and she says, like, I think cash bail should be looked at and examined, that's going to be a hard line for her to walk, that independent line, because she won't be whose vote will she honestly mm-hmm. get?
Well, it's also so interesting, and this is part of the I have to figure out how to communicate this, whether it's through TikTok videos or on the radio station, but also decide, you know, because probably if the last election we just had is any indicator of what the talking points and messaging is going to be going into this election, it's going to be soft on crime and their record. But a reminder that there was people who's the justices who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court do not decide who goes to jail.
Yeah.
They hear cases that are interpreting our state constitution, and it has nothing to do with putting people away. And so I don't know how you communicate that to motivate people to not only just vote, but also know what is the roles and responsibilities of the people who sit on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and how to look at their background and their history, and how that works into their actual job. It is not like she or any of them would not be hearing ever the Daryl Brooks case.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really important for those of us in the media to do our best to talk about what this job actually is.
Yeah.
Because attack ads are going to go where attack ads go. And we know how that shapes up.
We all are so ready to have it back. Really yeah. All right. Well, we got to take a break. But Dan Schaefer from the Recompopulation Area will still be here when we come back. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM, The Shaw.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise partly cloudy skies. Highs around 28, west winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 15. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 35. Upper 40s Friday, turning much cooler on Saturday with highs in the low 30s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 23 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest, our guest co-host every Wednesday is Greg Bach. Our guest for this half hour is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, which is a weekly column. You should subscribe to it. You should pay to subscribe to it. It is excellent. So what'd you write about this week?
Quickly on that note, today is the last day of our Thanksgiving week sale.
Oh, what is the sale?
So we have 30% off for a full year subscription. I ran it for the full week, so it would include Black Friday, whatever Saturday, whatever Sunday,
Small business Saturday,
all of the things. So today is the last day of the sale. You can get a full year subscription for just $35. So that's what we got.
There you go. Good plug. But what'd you write about this week?
So after all of the election business that I had been writing about for the past few weeks, I needed kind of a palate cleanser, you know, to just write about. So I wrote about the Bucks. I had to write about the Milwaukee Bucks.
Sure.
And
how are they doing? They're
doing great.
It seems like the games I've been able to catch, it seems like they're still rocking and rolling.
Yeah, they continue to be great. They have the best player in the league, and they have the second best record in the league right now, even though Chris Middleton has not yet played a game. So
he's still out.
I think he's coming back soon.
Okay.
The Bucks are real weird about giving any injury details to the beat reporters. So when I follow the comments from like my friend Eric Name at The Athletic, He'll tweet out that Mike Budenholzer has not given him an update on anything, which is what they basically do. I think he's coming back soon. But basically what I wrote about with the Bucks and with Giannis is about how they're chasing history this season. I think this is kind of a quiet storyline for the Bucks this season. You know, they win the title in 2021. They're unable to repeat on the, you know, after the shortened off season and with Middleton's injury in last year's playoffs. But this year, you know, I think when you have a team that can win two titles in 3 years or win multiple titles as part of just kind of a larger run, I think that puts you in a different historical tier as a team, compared to, you know, just kind of like a one-off title, like the Detroit Pistons won in 2004 and the Dallas Mavericks won in 2011. But that's a little bit different than, say, like the Lakers and the Heat and the Warriors and all of these kind of dynastic teams in the NBA. And I think the Bucks really have an opportunity this year to become one of those teams if they're able to climb the mountain yet again. You know, if they're able to win two titles in 3 years and basically be kind of the dominant team of the last five seasons, I think that puts them in kind of different historical rarefied air. And it also with, you know, as it applies to Giannis as well, you know, we saw, you know, one of the things that I wrote about was the fact that, you know, he's already being ranked as one of the top 20 players of all time.
It's wild.
Which is crazy.
But is he 28?
He'll be 28 in a couple weeks, or next week. And, you know, he's already kind of reaching this pantheon of NBA greatness. And if he's able to win another title, if he's able to maybe even get another MVP, you know, that puts them in line to, puts him in line to be one of the 10 greatest players to ever play the game. And I think this season is perhaps going to be their best chance to do it, you know, considering the age of guys like Brooke Lopez and Middleton and Holiday, who are all in their 30s. You know,
but isn't Brooke having like his best year? Isn't he just dominant this year?
Brooke has been unbelievable this year. He's leading the league in blocks per game. He's kind of regained his shooting stroke, get that Splash Mountain nickname back. Mm-hmm. But he's also 34 and missed most of last season with a pretty serious back injury.
Yeah.
So you never know. Like, this might be the best we get from Brooke going forward. And as great as he's been this year, I mean, you never know. So I just think this season is such an opportunity for the Bucks to stamp themselves as one of these great all-time historical teams.
There's something about sports, now that I'm in my second half of my 30s, of like, I'm still nice. Young. I still got it. And they're like, oh, he's so old. He's 34. I don't know. I don't know how many years he's gotten him.
I just got asked to be on a, like, an intramural soccer team. I was like, what are you even doing to yourselves? What kind of question is that?
No. I will not do that.
No, I'll be your, I'll take stats.
So then the other last question, I have not looked at mine yet. Have you looked at your Spotify Wrapped yet?
I don't do Spotify.
You do Pandora?
No.
Where do you listen to your music?
YouTube Music. Is right. With you. I'm going to do a little plug.
Is that like a moral stance?
No. It's with when you subscribe to YouTube Premium, you get a free membership to YouTube Music. It's the same access to the same music. It's all great. Oh, so I don't.
All right. Well, then you're not in this conversation. People, Dan, have you done Spotify
for? Okay, fine. I'll just leave. Goodbye.
I did check out my Spotify Wrapped this morning. And I, of course, share an account with my wife and my daughter. And so I went through. They give you the first, you know, your top five songs. All of my top five songs were from the Encanto soundtrack. Tell me you're a parent without telling me you're a parent.
I have been told that even if you're not a parent, that's like, as far as the world of kids' music goes,
it's a great soundtrack.
Encanto versus Baby Shark, Encanto all the way, right? You're like, exactly. Everyone's very pumped when that, they're like, yeah. I can handle this.
So, yeah, everything in my top 10 was from the Encanto soundtrack. So that my daughter loves the movie.
What's your favorite song? What's your favorite Encanto song?
It's got to be We Don't Talk About Bruno,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
And then the only other song in the top 10 that was not part of the Encanto soundtrack was this one Jason Isbell song called If We Were Vampires. And my wife and I will play that in the car whenever our youngest will not shut up. So it's just like the one song that gets her to calm down. And so the whole Spotify Wrap for me this year is not really a reflection of my own musical interest.
Sure, in Dan, way. Sure.
It's Encanto and getting my kid to shut up songs.
Can you sing that song? I don't think I'm not familiar with the what is it? The what vampire song?
Yeah, Dan.
It's a really good song. It's called If We Were Vampires.
Can you sing it,
Dan?
It's a really sweet song about death. And we play for our daughter.
You are talking my language, Dan.
Yes, yeah,
baby.
Says the woman raised in a mortician. all right. Well, that was a very fun segment. Thanks for coming on, Dan. We'll probably have you back in a couple weeks like we usually do. Can't wait to read the Buck story and then whatever you got next coming out next week. So subscribe today to the Recombobulation Area so you can take advantage of the sale. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much as always for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Good seeing everybody.
All right.
Bucks and six.
All right. Well, we are going to take the break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, restaurant etiquette. How long can you wait for your food before it is appropriate for you to just leave? You tell us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You see on the bubblegum cards, me and homeboy would go one on one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch them all, cause Curtis Blow is rapping basketball.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.